Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And Father, I pray your blessings, your anointing, Father, on me as I deliver the word that you have spoken to my heart. I give you praise now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, a prophet by the name of Joel, he was one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, lived around 800 BC, and he wrote these words which make reference to the latter days, or the last days, as it's referred to sometimes in the New Testament. And it says this, in chapter 2, verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men," I guess he was referring to me there at this point, "your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." And then when the disciples came down from the upper room on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, Peter says these words. Verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Now here it is, verse 16. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now, he's referring back to a prophecy that Joel had made approximately 800 years earlier. Joel said there is a day coming when God's Spirit would be poured out. And here we are seeing it taking place on the day of Pentecost. And I believe that here it is now, 2,000 years later from that, or 2,800 years after Joel prophesied these words, I believe we're once again seeing this. Now, I realize here in America, we are in a spiritual drought in many ways. But I also know that among Christians and other parts of the world, the Spirit of God is being poured out, and great and mighty things are taking place. So God is moving by His Spirit upon Christians throughout the world today. And America, take heed here. We need to get our spiritual act together and get things back to where they need to be in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and have the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us that we can do these things and see these things take place. When I was growing up in the 50s and the 60s, what we read of here in the prophet Joel, what we read here in the book of Acts chapter 2, was a common practice, a commonplace happening in the church services that I attended on a weekly basis. The young people were get up and they were being anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, giving forth messages as God laid them upon their hearts. I looked up the word dream in the dictionary, and according to dictionary.com, the primary definition of the word dream is a succession of images, thoughts, or emotions passing through the mind during sleep. Now, I know that we also talk about the dreams that we have of things that we would like to do. Like somebody might say, well, I dream about getting a new car, and it's going to be bright red with black stripes down the side, or whatever, you know, you might fancy. Personally, never wanted a car like that, but somebody might. And you would think that's something I'd like to have, and it's my dream to have that, or I'm living the dream. But what we're talking about is the dreams that go through our mind during our sleep, because God does speak to us in our dreams. The other word used here is visions. And it says the young people or the young men shall see visions. And a vision, the act or power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. For example, a prophetic vision. Another definition here, an experience in which a personage, thing, or event appears vividly or credibly to the mind, although not actually present, often under the influence of a divine or other agency. And you know, the Bible talks a lot about dreams and visions. And we can go all the way back into the book of Genesis and find that the Bible begins to talk about this. In fact, one of the first mentions is when we find that God has spoken to Abram, told him to go to a country which he would take him to. And along the road here, they end up in a place and a king named Abimelech. And Abimelech wants to take Sarah, that's Abraham's wife. He doesn't know this, because quite honestly, folks, Abram wasn't honest with Abimelech. In a way he was, but in a way he wasn't, because he had told Abimelech that she was his sister. So Abimelech wanted to take Sarah for his wife. And in Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, we actually read it the first time. It talks about God speaking to somebody through a dream. And it says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Man, if that doesn't get your attention, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Abimelech, you go through with this, and you're dead. Well, if you go ahead and read the rest of the chapter here, this gets Abimelech's attention. He comes to Abram about, what's going on here? Well, the story is, go ahead and read there, you find out that Abram came across to Abimelech and told him what the truth was and what the facts were. And Abimelech says, no, no, I don't want her. Joseph, probably one of the most noted for having dreams, and he was hated for them in his youth. He would tell his father, he would tell his brothers about his dreams. And his brothers hated him. In fact, in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5, it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And as you continue to read chapter 37, you find out some more about this, and you find out about some of the dreams that Joseph had. You also find that God gave Joseph interpretation to the dreams, not only that he had, but to the dreams that other people had. And if you go ahead and you begin to read in the rest of the book of Genesis about Joseph, and you find as he is sold into bondage and to Egypt, and there he is known for being able to interpret dreams. Then he ends up in prison. He interprets the dreams of the baker, and he interprets the dreams of the king's butler, and they both come true as to what he interpreted them. Later on, he ends up in the house of Potiphar, and are, excuse me, in the house of the king, and there he becomes second in command because of the dreams that Pharaoh had, and he was able to interpret the dreams when none of the others that were supposed to be able to do this stuff were able to interpret them. In the book of Numbers, we also read as the children of Israel are on their way to the promised land. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 5 through 6, it talks about, and it says, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak to him in a dream." So God tells us right here that he speaks to his people in dreams and in visions. Think about that. Have you ever thought about some of the dreams you've had, maybe? Maybe this was God trying to speak to you? Maybe God trying to get your attention about something? Well, we read the book of Daniel and we find out the prophet Daniel was also noted for the dreams that he interpreted, as well as dreams that he had and visions that God gave to him. In fact, the word dreams is mentioned 18 times in the book of Daniel, and visions is mentioned 19 times. And many of the dreams and visions that Daniel experienced in his lifetime are coming past today. And here we are, 2,000 plus years later, that the things that Daniel dreamed about, the visions that God gave Daniel, the visions that God gave the kings that Daniel served under, those dreams are taking place and happening in our lifetime. You are living a part of the books of the Bible in your life today. And you are living in probably one of the most fantastic times in all of history that you could possibly want to live in, I believe. Because we are living in the days when the Bible is bringing us to that conclusion, where at some point, those who are born-again Christians, those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, are going to be taken to meet Him in the air and live with Him for all eternity. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 reads like this, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him," and this is speaking of Joseph, and it says, "The Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now let's look back at this for just a moment here. Here's Joseph. He and Mary are engaged. And the way that weddings were done back then is quite a bit different in many ways as to what they were done are done today. But there was an espousal period where they were engaged, and you know, this was a done deal. It just final things hadn't taken place yet. And suddenly Joseph finds out that Mary is with child. And he's not the dad. And he's thinking, what should I do? I love this woman. I don't want harm to come to her. And if the people find out what's happening here, they could stone her to death. Maybe I'll take her somewhere else and where nobody knows us and let her have the child there. And looking back in our own history here in America, 50, 60 years ago, this was the way it was done a lot of times. If some young lady became pregnant, and the family would send her off to live with somebody, some area where nobody knew her, or at least knew her, barely knew her, and let her have the baby, and then they would come back later. Well, this is kind of what he was thinking about doing. But the angel speaks to Joseph and says, fear not. God's got this. that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to take charge of things here. And this is just one of the six times that dreams are mentioned in the book of Matthew. And vision, by the way, is mentioned 79 times. But we're just dealing today with dreams. And God can give you dreams. And one of the things I've learned over the years is many times if a dream is reoccurring, you just might better pay attention to that dream. And I want to interject something here, though. There's a lot of people today that claim to interpret dreams. In fact, there's programs on television of those who are spiritual mediums. And quite honestly, folks, I don't think you need to be watching those programs. But there's a program on Christian television where they interpret dreams. And I've noticed the setting is that of the Native American dream catcher and the way that they did things. And quite honestly, folks, I think that's something we should shy away from, too. But God does give us dreams. And many times He will reveal the message of that dream to us, and we don't need someone else to come and interpret it to us. And sometimes maybe we do need to share that dream with someone else so that they can help us to understand what God is speaking to our heart. But again, many times if a dream is reoccurring, it might be something that God is speaking to your heart. I know over the years I've had several cases where I've had reoccurring dreams, and I know I've probably shared this one in messages before, but back many years ago, I had a reoccurring dream that I was killed in a car wreck at a particular intersection when another vehicle ran the red light as I went through on the green. And I dreamed this over and over and over again. Now, this particular intersection I went through 5 to 10 times a week at a minimum on my way to and from work. So quite frankly, as I dreamed this, I became quite leery of it, because in my dream I saw the intersection, I saw the accident, I saw the buildings that were at the intersection, I saw the names that were on the buildings, and they were all the same as they were in my dream. And one morning on my way to work, I came up to that light at that particular intersection. I was the first car to arrive at the intersection when the light had turned red for me. And I'm sitting there. And quite honestly, normally when the light turned green, I put my foot to the pedal and we went. But that morning I sat there. I don't know why, I just sat there. And as I'm sitting there, I watch a car run the red light going cross traffic, doing approximately 60 miles an hour. That car would have hit me right at the driver's side door. And I most likely would have been killed, or at least severely injured, had that car hit me. God had warned me about that intersection. And so I was leery of it. I was even hesitant to cross. And then the event happens. And I'm spared because God had revealed to me what was going to happen in a dream if I went through that intersection. Interestingly enough, I never had the dream again. And that's why I know it was God speaking to me, because I never, ever dreamed that dream again. Dreams can be warnings. Dreams can be blessings. Dreams can help us to interpret what God has in store for us. A number of years ago, my wife and I and two other team members were preparing to make our first trip to Guyana. And I had asked around, and quite frankly, this was not too long after the incident had happened in Guyana with Jim Jones, and Americans as a whole were a little bit leery of the country. I think the people of Guyana were a little bit leery of Americans at that time. And I couldn't find out a whole lot of information about what we needed to do, what we needed to take with us, even very hard. It was very hard to come by information. And so as we were preparing for this, I began to have dreams about being at the airport in Guyana. Now, quite frankly, I had no idea what the airport in Guyana looked like. I'd never seen a picture. I'd never seen a description. But I had been to Disneyland. And at Disneyland, there was a thing, one of the very first things that opened when Disneyland opened back in the mid-50s, was the Jungle Ride. And of course, on the Jungle Ride, you go through an entry point where you're going through these various turnstiles and stuff to get up to the point that you get on the boat to take the little ride through Jungle Land. And it's laid out a certain way. And I remember as we arrived at the airport, which, by the way, was located out in the jungle. I'm not quite sure how many miles, but probably at least 15, 20 miles from the city of Georgetown. And we arrived there in the middle of the jungle. A jungle all around us. We get off the plane and we walk, and we suddenly come into a building. And the layout I recognize as being that layout, just like I was seeing in my dream. And I remember these words that I uttered, not particularly to anybody, but I know somebody heard me. I remember saying the words, "Just like my dream." You see, God had revealed that to me. I felt comfort and peace knowing that God was with us. And again, I never had the dream again, because God had made his point. And I know that over the years, God has spoken to me through dreams and spoken to me in other ways as well. But God does speak to us through dreams. And probably some of you that are listening to me today, God has spoken to you through a dream. He's tried to get your attention and to wake you up about something, maybe. Or he's tried to show you something that he wants you to do. Or he's trying to put you at peace about a particular thing. Well, a few weeks ago, I started having dreams again. And I had dreams where I was involved in some sort of an out-of-control car ride or truck ride. Vehicle could be different, but it was an out-of-control ride at some point. And I would tell my wife in the morning, I had another one of those crazy dreams again. I dreamed that I was in this vehicle, and this or that happened in it, and it just was crazy. Then, about a week or 10 days ago, I had the dream again. And this time I was in a pickup truck that was parked in a dirt lot on top of a small hill. And there was a dirt road leading down to a highway. Now, this was a busy highway, cars coming and going, people walking along the sides of the highway, not really paying a lot of attention to that dirt road or what was happening on that dirt road. And I remember in my dream getting into this truck, this pickup truck, and I'm going to head down the hill. And I find out as I'm headed down the hill that the truck has no brakes. And just as I thought just came to my mind, on our second trip to Guyana, we went to a place called Bartica, and the pastor there was taking us out to a place to get on a boat where we could cross the Essequibo River. And he turns and looks at my wife and says, "The Rover has no brakes." Now, that was the Land Rover vehicle that we were riding in. There was no brakes. I mean, he had to use the emergency brake to stop it. Regular brakes didn't work. So I know the feeling of a vehicle with no brakes, and it can be a scary feeling. But here we are, we're going down this dirt road toward the highway. And I can see people looking up as I'm warning them, trying to warn them. I'm honking the horn, doing whatever I can do. I'm coming at you and I can't stop. And they just look at me and continue to walk on, paying no attention, paying no heed to the warning that they were getting. They saw the problem coming, but they paid no attention to it. Well, when I woke up in the morning, I told my wife about that dream. And then during the day, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that this was like the general population of the world today. Destruction is headed toward us, and we pay no attention to what is about to happen. Look about you today. Look around you. There are men of God and women of God who are crying out a warning, and we are not paying attention. We're just saying, oh, I've heard that before. It doesn't matter. I've heard the horn honk before, and it didn't happen. It didn't hit me. We're walking into the path of destruction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And that's what the world is today as a whole. They're crying out, peace and safety, and destruction is approaching. Warnings are being given day after day by men and women of God, and we pay no attention. We say, oh, he's just another radical. He's just another doomsday prophet. And I realize there are some out there that are spewing forth false doctrine and false prophecies. But there are men and women who are anointed of God that are telling you the truth, that it's going to happen. I don't know when, they don't know when, but we know it's going to happen. You need to be ready. You need to be on guard. You need to be prepared. I know I've mentioned this before, but I want to repeat it again. During a debate on television a couple of years back about the rapture of the church and questions being asked, Paul Crouch, founder of TBN, was asked the question, when do you think the rapture is going to take place? And he said, I don't know, but I do know this, we need to be ready. And that's the thing, friend, we need to be ready. The warning is being called out. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, if it doesn't happen for another 20 years, if it doesn't happen for another 50 years, it will happen. And we need to be prepared. So there have been those that have been date setters, and maybe they've caused some of us to not want to pay attention, to say, oh, it's just another nutcase. And I know that's how some people feel about some people who speak on prophecy and talk about the coming of the Lord. It's just another nutcase. Mark chapter 13, verse 32, Jesus himself said these words, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only the Father knows. Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13 speaks to us of some of the events that will take place before the end of the age and the coming of the Lord. Now I know, folks, in the King James Version it says the end of the world, but it's the end of the age. It's the end of this age that we are living in, and we're going to be going into a new age. Oh, as we go into those glorious things that God speaks to about through the millennial reign period, and then that eternity with Jesus Christ and whatever glories that God has for us. And the Bible doesn't even reveal but a small fraction of what's going to take place. And as we read these events, some of these events could not have possibly happened until the last 15 to 20 years. Some of it even a shorter period of time than that. Because it talks about the gospel being preached in all parts of the globe, to all peoples. And now we stand in the last few years, for the first time in history, that the entire globe can hear the gospel message, and they can hear it around the world in real time. That is possible right now. Christian television networks, and at least there are two or three of them that broadcast 24/7 to every point on the globe, broadcasting constantly. And although I'm not much in knowledge in the field of communications as far as how the technicalities of it works, I do know this, that they have target areas that the broadcast will reach. But because of certain conditions, for example, weather, water bodies and theons, other things like that, the signal can go much further than it was designed to go. And so there are places that it gets to that we don't even think it may get to, but it happens. The secular world is even warning us of cataclysmic events that are about to happen. And those events line up with what was written in the Bible 2,000 years ago. I want to read Matthew 24, 4 through 14 for you. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." I want to tell you, there's someone on television right now who is saying he is the appointed Son of God. Watch out. "And shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars. You hear of wars and rumors of wars every day. It's talk right now. We're worried about a war with North Korea. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted." Christians are being afflicted around the globe today. Persecuted. It goes on and says, "And they shall kill you." That's happening on a daily basis. "And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Friend, I don't care which country you're in today, Christians are hated by people. There are groups here in America that hate Christians. Christians in America may not be being persecuted the way they are in some other countries, but they're being persecuted in a different way here. We read each week of some Christian who loses his job or loses his business simply because of their Christian beliefs. "Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many." And they're out there, folks. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." This gospel is being preached in all nations today. The Bible has warned us for years. It's told us it's going to happen. Ministers of God have warned us for years. It's going to happen. Even secular science is warning us it's going to happen. Over the last couple of months, I've read a number of articles about Yellowstone volcano in the Yellowstone National Park, that if it blows, it could destroy half of the continental United States. It could kill half the population. Some are even saying it could kill all the population of the United States. Cataclysmic events. Earthquakes like we've never had before. Hurricanes like we've never had before. All sorts of phenomena unlike anything that we've had before in history. The question is, are you heeding the warning? Or are you like many people in my dream who continue to walk across the path of a careening truck with no brakes that was honking out a warning? Which one are you? Are you paying attention to what the Bible has to say? Are you paying attention to what men and women of God are trying to tell you, that the end is at hand, the end is near? And I'm not talking about the end of the world in the sense that a lot of people think of the end of the world. I'm talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes for the rapture of His church. And my friend, the only way you're going to be in that rapture, the only way you're going to be in that great home going, is if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Just this past week, in fact, the last 7 days or 6 days even, three people I know have gone home to be with the Lord. Some unexpectedly. Some knew they were going. But some totally unexpectedly. And that's the way it is, folks. We don't know the day nor the hour when our life is going to cease as well as we know it here on this earth. But if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we step out of this realm and into the realm of the heavenlies, where we will forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. If you don't know Him, you can. You can ask Him into your heart and life today. The Bible tells us if we'll ask Jesus into our heart, He will come in. He will cleanse us from our sins. And He will make us an heir of the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a child of God today? You want to be with Jesus Christ and heaven for all eternity? It's so easy. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, pray a prayer like this just now. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I ask that You would forgive me. I ask that You would come into my heart and that You would wash away all the sin with Your precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, and that You will make me a child of God. In Jesus' name. And if you'll pray a prayer just as simple as that, He'll come in and you'll become a part of the kingdom of God.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship, Incorporated. Thank you.